Well, we're going to continue our walk through the Lord's Prayer, focusing this day on give us this day our daily bread. But I want to invite the boys and girls to come forward if you are here today. I have a little message for you, a word of encouragement. Good morning. Good morning, good morning. Welcome, welcome. Are you glad to be here today? I'm glad you're here. Come on closer. We like to have you close by. Gather around. All right. Are you happy today? Is this a good day, or is the rain getting you a little down? Okay, good. I see some with two thumbs up. Is it a two thumbs up kind of a day? That's good. I'm glad. Because the rain is good. We need the rain. God takes care of us. I wonder, who gave us the rain? God gave us the rain? Okay. Sometimes we don't like rain, that's right. But did God give us the snow then too? Okay. Did God give us the sunshine? I wonder if there's some things I can think of that God did not give us. Did God give you and I our families? Okay. Did he give you your food? Okay. Did he give you your homes to live in? Yeah. Okay. I wonder, did God give us his church? Well, if God gave us all those things, then who should we turn to when we need help? God. That's so easy. So the Bible teaches us. It says, when you have concerns in this life, he says, cast your cares on him. That cast is like a fisherman. Have you ever seen fishermen using nets? And they cast the net in the water and they're able to get all of their fish. That's the same word that's used. So all of your troubles, whenever you're not having a good day, whenever things are not going the way that you planned, you cast, just throw it on God, and he will take care of you. And that's a reminder of what we need to do each and every passing day. When things are going good, hey, cast your happiness on God. He loves to hear from you. When things are not going good, he loves to hear from us then too. So shall we pray to him and ask him to help us with that? All right. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for everything that you give us. And when we're hurt, we thank you that we can come to you. When we're lonely, thank you that we can come to you. When we're sick, thank you that we can come to you. When we're happy and excited, thank you that we can come to you. Thank you that whatever happens in our lives, we can come to you because you care for us. And we love you, Jesus. Amen. All right, let's say our blessing before we gather our candies and go to a children's church or your seats, whatever you choose here today. Let's say this together. May your words, O Lord, let's do the actions together. Follow me. May your words, O Lord, be always on our mind, on our lips, and deep in our hearts.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you. Okay, grab a couple pieces of candy, and congregation, if you want to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Perfect. Those are my favorites. Deuteronomy chapter 8, as we continue our trek through the model prayer that Jesus gave us to pray. The Lord's Prayer, of course, is for those who are by faith made what they are not by nature, and that is children of God. So a believer's conversation with God, that's what prayer really is. It focuses on the holiness of God. God, our Heavenly Father, He's a God that's out bigger than we can possibly imagine, magnificent, marvelous, and yet He's a God who walks intimately with us. He is a God who is the King of His kingdom, and we pray Your kingdom come. We pray that His will be done in our life more and more as time goes on. So we're on to the fourth request in this series. And we're going to look at the Old Testament as sort of a connecting point. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you have your Bibles opened, in the Pew Bibles, it's page 286. If you want to follow along, begin reading at verse 1. Where Moses says to the people of God, getting ready to enter into that promised land, "Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you, to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep His commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that people don't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in His ways and revering Him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vine and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce, and you will not lack anything. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws and decrees that I am giving you on this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." It's as far as we're reading this congregation of Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thanks indeed. As we continue on the Lord's Prayer, let's recite the Lord's Prayer together. Would you join me with heart and with voice as you know it? You say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Memorizing that, not as the prayer that we pray, but the model for the prayers that we give to God. You ever thank God for fleas? I know one person that did. Corrie ten Boom. Her family helped the Dutch Jews escape from the Nazis in the Holocaust in World War II. Because of her activities being part of the resistance, she was eventually, her and her sister Betsy and her father were arrested and brought to Ravensbrück. Her father died a few days later, and Corrie And Betsy endured unimaginable horrors. Yet, in the midst of all that, she was a person that continued to have unshakable trust in her Heavenly Father. One day, for example, they were transferred to a dormitory that was infested with fleas. Now, as if camp wasn't bad enough, why would their loving Heavenly Father have them be transferred to this flea-infested place? Until they noticed that the brutal camp directors, the guards that were there, would never go near that building. And so they could continue to minister in the midst of that situation. So God used the fleas to provide them with a safe place for ministering to others. They said, "Thank you, God, for fleas." Now, when I hear this story, I don't know what that does to you, but sometimes I'm ashamed to admit how often I fail to trust in God for the little, ordinary, everyday things of my life. To realize that everything I have comes from Him. Every breath that I inhale is a gift from His. He could take it away in a moment, but He gives me another breath. The measure of health and strength that we have, the people that He puts around us, our families, our church family, the gifts that He gives us, food every day, more than enough. And I'm ashamed to think how often I complain about the things that aren't going right in my life, the hardships, while taking all the rest for granted. So her ability to worship God in the midst of those circumstances is an inspiration to me, and I hope to all of us, that like her, that we can be sure enough over time of God's fatherhood to find evidence of His mercy every day of our life. Give us this day our daily bread. It's so easy to say, but so hard to live out. Our bread stands for so much more than just that loaf of bread that we cut. The Greek word artos is representative not only of the bread that was baked every day, but symbolic of everything that God's people needed to live. Food, health, nourishment, good health, home, wife, the children that we have, the government that we can live under, peace, a Wisconsin Badger victory, all the things we need. Okay, maybe not that one. Even fleas and the enemies, everything happens under the hands of our sovereign God. And I think about prayer, the prayer that we actually pray itself. It's a simple prayer. We say, hey, let's ask God for everything that we need. What could be clearer than praying for a slice of bread, right? And everybody prays at one time or another. You hear often of foxhole Christians in a war when the bombs are coming down dangerously close to where you are. Suddenly, it doesn't seem like such a bad idea. Maybe let's just pray just in case there's somebody that's listening there. Very natural. If you're on an airplane and that plane is going down, you hear more often than not, so many people said, I prayed. I prayed at that moment. Even people who don't believe in God don't find it out of the ordinary to say a prayer to God. Lord, I need my health today. And that's very natural because there's something instinctive in all of God's people, all the people that He created. Something that just says, I need to talk to someone who can answer my requests. And Jesus Himself encourages us, as He said to His disciples, ask Me for anything. You ask it in My name and I will do it. The bottom line of this request is that God, our Heavenly Father, cares deeply, very deeply for each one of us. And He cares for at giving us the smallest thing that we request for. He's the source of everything that we need. So when we pray to our Heavenly Father, we come to know Him because He's the one who provides everything that we need. Big requests, as we pray for peace in the Middle East, as we pray for large things that are happening in the world, the government shutdown, famine around the world, wars that are taking place, we pray to God. Those big things are part of what we ask for. But He also is concerned about the little details of our ordinary everyday life. The personal, practical, material issues, which even now we're bringing to worship this morning. I don't know what you came into worship here with this morning. The things that we need. Finding lost keys, finding a parking space, finding just things that you need to get by. For, you know, this next part of the prayer that we're going over, the first half of the prayer says, hey, let's make sure that as we're asking for our ordinary, everyday things, that it's not just for ourselves. Remember, we're praying to our Heavenly Father, the God who is in control of all things. And then, as we live our lives, we're saying, let's seek first His kingdom. Your kingdom come. And more, we submit our wills to His will. That's the trajectory of our Christian lives, that we're learning how to do this more and more. When we pray those kind of prayers, surrendering our lives to Him, now comes that part that we say, okay, so when we're asking for our daily bread, is that just so that we can live? Or that so that we can use our strength to continue seeking His kingdom, doing His will, seeing His word and His kingdom expand? So we're going to come up with forgive us next week. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's all part of what we seek when we're seeking the kingdom of God. So Matthew 6, 32-33, Jesus tells His disciples, all right, don't worry about anything that you need in your life. I am going to provide for you. He tells His disciples, don't worry. He says this, don't worry about your life, what you are going to wear or what you are going to eat. The pagans run after these things, but your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. Therefore, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. In other words, you take care of my things, says Jesus, I'll take care of your things. He said in John 14, 34, because I'm going to the Father, I'll do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. It's not a magical formula. When we pray in Jesus' name, we're not just rubbing the bottle on a flask that contains a genie and says, hey, you know, if I say those words, you're going to guarantee that my wishes come true. No, to pray in Jesus' name means that we align all the things that we want with His character and purposes in our life. So when we when our prayers line up with God's prayers for our lives, then He says yes. And when they don't, He says no. And I don't know about you, but I find that a great relief. So many things I ask for just because I want them for my own selfish ends. But He's saying, when you pray in my name, when my prayers, your prayers line up with my will, you're going to get it. You're going to get what you need, and I'm going to lead and direct your life. So we want what God wants. Ask yourself this morning, when I pray, is it really God's will that I'm praying for? Is it His kingdom that I want to see expanded? Is it His will and not my will that I want to see being done? In other words, then we can ask our is his kingdom coming first? If that is, then we can pray for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities, the bare necessities of life. See, God knows what's best for us. He knows, and he seeks our very best. He's able to discern the difference between my selfish prayers and what he really wants. Now, to provide the context for this, that's where our passage today. You could look at Exodus 16 as well. That's the larger story of how manna came about. But Deuteronomy 8 is a nice summary, and that's what we're focusing on today. So there in the Old Testament, God's people were very hungry. They were in the desert. They ran out of food. And they complained, and God provided for them food. He gave them manna. They woke up one morning, and there was their substance, and they said, "What is it?" Well, that's literally translated. Manu is what is it? And that's where we get the word manna. What is it? It's God's provision for them. And they gathered it every day. Now, there was something that God did in that. And again, you have to look at Exodus 8:16 for that, for the fuller detail. He said, pick only enough for what you need today. So they went out and they gathered. And of course, some people being overachievers, they gathered more than enough. And what happened? They ate that day. They had plenty to eat, and they had a little bit left over. And the next morning, it stank. It was full of maggots. So God said, listen, you got to listen to me. You just pick what you need for today so that tomorrow you wake up and you say, God's going to provide for me again this day, every day. Now, there was an exception to that. On day 6, they could pick double amount, and it didn't stink on Sunday morning, on the Sabbath day. And God provided for them. Well, Moses connects the manna that they received. Oh, by the way, again, Sunday morning, some people went out and they went to collect manna, and it wasn't there. And God said, you're not listening to me. You need to listen to my word. If that's the only thing you hear this morning, is listen loud and clear. Hearing God's word and obeying his word is key. Remember, it says in verse 2 of our text today, how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert. He caused you to be hungry and then fed you with manna to teach you. And guess what? During the 40 years that you wandered around, your clothes never wore out, your feet never swelled. That's kind of a reference to he took care of you physically. He helped you with your health during those 40 years. But what he was doing every day was teaching them to trust in him. As the people gathered manna day in and day out, they were reminded how dependent they were on God. Now, that's hard for us in our culture today. In the rhythm of our everyday life, we need to remind ourselves that every blessing that we receive is from God's gracious hand. It's a sign of his grace. What do you have that I did not provide, says the Lord? So just like those people in the desert, we don't really deserve what we get every day, and yet God provides for us. And how quickly we forget that. That's true today. In living your life, have you forgotten God? Do you see evidence of his grace in your life? In the good gifts that he gives to you, are you able to say, yeah, I have this because God gave it to me? The bed you sleep in, the roof over your head, the people you woke up with, the breakfast that you ate this morning, the car that you drove in. When we truly pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're recognizing and affirming that every good and perfect thing comes from God. Here's what Jesus says in Mark chapter 8. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their souls? The bottom line is, and I heard this from Matthew Henry, God only gives what is best to his children. If riches, possessions, things of this earth, promotions, anything that we have is truly, truly good, God would give that to his children. That you look around, and many of God's people around the world are very poor. They live from day to day. And you think God loves them less? Nah, he only gives his children what is best, says Matthew Henry. Well, nicer cars, better job, good health, better crops, not a bad thing to pray for, but it's not everything. Well, sometimes in our culture, what we experience is boredom. And that's another thing, as I was thinking through this, give us our daily bread. We pray that, but we have more than enough food. We have refrigerators, we have things, freezers, we have more than an abundance of food. And what we find is that we're quite bored with it all. We have it all by the world standard, and we're really bored. Our natural tendency is to only say, well, I got this. But it really is not as important as I thought it was. I need something else. And so we go chasing after something else. It doesn't quite live up to its billing, the things that we grasp, and that's what we have to fight against. Our idols, those are things that take the place on the throne of our heart that rightfully belongs to God. They promise much, those idols, but deliver nothing. By the way, did you know that the English word for boredom came from the French word borer, which means to stuff? Bored people are bored, not because they have too little to occupy themselves with, but too much. The more stuffed we are with the riches of this life, the more food we cram into our mouths and stuff our lives with, well, we feel empty. We feel restless, without meaning. We still need to try to find something new, something to liven things up. If I had a new job, then I would be happy. If I had a new house, if I got a new girlfriend, a new boyfriend, that would be, then I would be truly, truly happy. We're bored stiff, bored to the point that we don't even see how good we have it. So as we're moving to a conclusion here, when we pray, Father, give us this day our daily bread, it reminds us every day, put your trust in God. We will forget that easily. That's the natural tendency of our fallen, sinful hearts. Just collect what you need for today. Trust Him for tomorrow's wants. I'm not just talking about going on a diet. I'm not promoting not making plans for a future. That's important and okay. But to intentionally deny ourselves from time to time, to submit our wants, our selfish desires to our Heavenly Father, and to rest in His provision no matter what. No matter what's going on around us, we need to give up our trust in creatures, as the Catechism says, and put our trust in God alone. So today, Enjoy the manna of God's provision for you. Enjoy the process of getting up and gathering what you need for today. When you eat that food today, before you tear into it, take a sniff. Smell how good it is. When you enjoy the fellowship of the people who are around you, enjoy that to the fullest. It's a good thing that God gives us. And when you lay your head on your pillow tonight and rest there, be very grateful. Thank God for everything that He has given you. And then tomorrow, you'll wake up and start that process all over again. And you're going to find that God will supply everything you need. I'll finish with this. Paul commands us, rejoice in the Lord always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Can you worship God in all the seasons of your life, in all the circumstances of your life, no matter how good or how difficult life is? Like Corey and Betsy, are you sure enough of your Father's love and care that you can find evidence of His care wherever you look? Are you so confident in God's holiness that you can trust His ultimate control of everything, from the fascists that imprison you to the fleas, and give you an opportunity to worship Him? Amen. Father, You are so good. I pray that You will walk with us every day. As we get up, we know that life is a gift from You. This moment, this time, the people that You gave to us, the provisions You give us along the way is such a gift from You. And I pray that You will help us to look to You and to stay dependent on You. Do whatever it takes, Lord, to help us to realize that we need You. We need You every moment of our lives. Hear our prayers, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.